Welcome to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. And now, experience the good life today.
Aloha from Honolulu, Hawaii. I'm Danny Yamashiro. Welcome to The Good Life. We are here to help unleash your God-given purpose. Today, we want to talk about hope in times of crisis, particularly in the way you perceive, the way your perspective is of a situation can dramatically affect your feelings, and as a result, impact even your physical health. What is your vision for your life? How is your current situation viewed by you in relation to your goals, your desires? Anne Frank, the German Jewish girl who wrote a diary of her family's hiding during World War II, said these words, "How wonderful it is that nobody need wait a single moment before starting to improve the world." Whenever there is a crisis in the world, people flock there to help, like in Japan. And there are crisis moments every day for people, whether you live in Hawaii or somewhere else on the globe. Perhaps today, as you listen to our show, joining me and my guest, you are facing a crisis of some kind in your own life. Perhaps it's a relational situation. Maybe it's having to do with your children or your spouse or something going on at work. Maybe it's a health matter. Maybe it's somebody that you know in some other place that's struggling, and it impacts you in such a way that it could even stop you in your tracks. We want you to know that the reason we have the Good Life Hawaii show is to bring you closer to Jesus Christ, so that you would realize, but more than realize, you would experience His hope, His strength, His life ministering to you right where you are at your point of need. Our guest today is Pastor Terry Wong. He is one of the most dynamic pastors I know, and when you hear his background, you'll understand. He's an Olympic-level black belt in Taekwondo. He's a marathon runner, a successful businessman, a husband and father, a world traveler and conference speaker. He's the pastor of Calvary Assembly of God, a church that is one of the top, if not the top, missions-giving churches in the United States with the Assemblies of God denomination. He is also pursuing his doctorate at Fuller Theological Seminary and is in the process of publishing his new book, Mission Power: Transform Missions Dynamically in Your Church and Life. He is married to Vicky and has three children, Brandon, Vanessa, and Ryan. Pastor Terry, welcome to our show.
I'm delighted to be here, excited, and it's always a pleasure, Danny.
You travel so much, Pastor Terry. You speak at large gatherings. It seems like the platform that God is giving you to communicate the burden, the passion, the yearning that's on your heart, particularly for missions, continues to enlarge. I mean, you get to meet with some pretty high-profile people, and the Lord opens doors of opportunity for you to convey this message. Where have you come from recently?
Well, on my last trip, it was a three-city tour. Went mm-hmm. to first San Francisco, and then Sydney, Australia, and then Baton Rouge, Louisiana. And each place, I just saw the Lord's hand move so mightily.
Incredible. And you got to meet with some pretty big name leaders too.
Yeah.
Why don't you tell us about that?
Sure. Well, Australia, for example, Pastor Jack Haynes, he pastors probably one of the top missions churches in all of Australia, was the World Missions President of the Australia Assemblies of God. Mm-hmm. And while when I was there, also got to golf with Bayless Conley, who spoke at his conference. And, of course, he's the pastor of Cottonwood Christian Center in Southern Cal. Mm-hmm. And, spent 5 hours with the guy and, able to talk story and share ideas. And then when I was in Baton Rouge, I got to golf with Larry Stockstill, mm-hmm. Pastors the biggest church in Louisiana. Mm-hmm. And he's a missions guy himself. And it's good to rub shoulders with people like that, but also able to have share a dinner with Rick Warren. I didn't realize how much his heart was into missions and how most of his money, in fact, we're talking, the guy doesn't just reverse tithe, but mm-hmm. with the remaining amount, he puts it into missions mm-hmm. and into fighting AIDS and helping mm-hmm. out with orphans and girl, teenage prostitute girls and mercy homes, that type of a thing. So just to spend some time with those guys enlarged my own vision, understanding of missions and the world.
We talk about missions. We talk about the world. Tell us, where have you been, in your recent travels, maybe in your collective travels, different continents, different states, nations?
Well, one country that God has opened up for our church and for me as well is Brazil. Mm-hmm. 7 years ago, at a leadership retreat at our church that we were conducting, I had as one of our speakers a prophet, and the prophet, I had instructed her, a prophetess actually, to prophesy over my different leaders and all that. And halfway through the retreat, she said, "I have a prophecy for you." So she lay hands on me and started prophesying about China and the Pacific Rim and that type of thing. And everything was just a kind of an amen type of prophecy. Mm-hmm. I agree. Yeah, I'm with you on that. And then she just said, "Brazil." And I looked at her and I said, "Are you sure?" She said, "Well, not really, but I heard it three times and I thought after the third time I better say it." And quite frankly, Danny, for the last 7 years, ever since then, I've been looking at opportunities. I even attended one of your JCCY conferences and looked at what you were doing in Brazil, but there wasn't a click there. Mm-hmm. But then last year, God opened up the door. I was invited to speak at a conference in Brazil, and God just showed me that He wanted me to plant a church in Sao Paulo, Brazil, mm-hmm. As one of the largest cities in the world. They have one of the districts, Oriental Town. There's 120,000 Chinese there. There's 1 million Japanese in that city. More Japanese in that city than anywhere else in the world outside Japan. Mm. And God was showing me, you've had success. I've given you success in reaching out to Chinese and Asians, and now I want you to send a team there. And so a month later, we held our missions conference. I cast a vision, and I just threw it out there. I thought, is this the prophecy coming to pass now? Is it manifesting? Mm-hmm. But, it's one thing for me to feel good about it. It's another thing to get the response, because I can have the vision, and if I don't have any people who will respond to that, I'm not going to have a team unless I send myself. And so I threw it out there, and within a month, six people, lay people in my church, said that they wanted to be a part of this team, including half the team want to give 3 years of their lives to be sent to Brazil to plant Calvary Assembly of God in Brazil.
Wow. The kind of faith that you have and that's conveyed and also expressed through your church and your ministry continues to grow, and it's like a fire. I mean, it catches on others and people in your church and beyond that. And people are recognizing that the Lord is raising you up as a distinct clarion, missions voice in the 21st century. With your new book coming out, Missions, Mission Power, and the speaking and that you're doing, in addition to pastoring, and church planting. You're planting churches in different parts of the world. Things happen concurrently with you under your leadership. Take us back, Pastor Terry. Take us back to just give us a glimpse right now of where you grew up. Hmm. We're going to take a break in a little while, but just tell us, where did you grow up? And when we come back, we'll talk about what it was like for you growing up, because I'm interested to see how God raised up a man of God that we see today, where did it all start?
Hmm.
So where did you grow up, Pastor
Okay,
Terry?
Well, I was born and raised in Victoria, Canada, in a small Chinese church.
Mm-hmm.
And I was a six or I can't remember exactly, but I was like a 6 or 7 year old boy that the pastor used to pick up and take to Sunday school. And that was my first exposure to church and Christianity and that type of thing. Well, that pastor, shortly after that, he was invited to pastor Calvary Assembly God in Honolulu, Hawaii. Mm-hmm. So he left Victoria, moved to Hawaii. He became the second pastor of this church. It's now a 54-year-old church, and a 54-years-old a Caucasian missionary who can speak Chinese planted the first Chinese church, first Assemblies of God Chinese church here in Hawaii. He took over a couple years
and
after that.
And this is Calvary.
New Calvary.
Okay, now, so you're 6 years old.
Yes.
And that pastor, who ended up pastoring here,
yes,
was the one who picked you up,
right,
and took you to church. Okay, this is the beginning now of Pastor Terry Wong as he shares with us his journey, the journey of faith that he has taken. It's taken him all over the world. It's taken him through Canada, and there's so much more. He's a world-class athlete, and so much more in his background. When we come back from our break, we'll hear more from Pastor Terry Wong. You don't want to miss it. This is just, we're kind of just getting started here about your life and how God cultivates through challenges and the need for faith the life of someone who's going to impact the world and leave a legacy for God. You want that? God can give it to you too, you know, in your life. Stay with us. We'll be back with more from Pastor Terry Wong.
Wandering the road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath a barren sky. Leave it to me, I'll lead you home.
On a dark winter night at Hawaii's Pali Ridge, Danny Yamashiro's life was forever changed as he fell 300 feet off a cliff, attempting to rescue his girlfriend. With a fractured skull, torn scalp, a shattered ankle, and smashed body, he fell again another 100 feet. No one thought he would live. Danny's book, Paradise Calls, is a spellbinding story of survival and hope. A first-hand account of crushed dreams, recovery, and renewed faith to bring Christ's message of hope to people everywhere. Here's Danny.
As you read Paradise Calls, may God bless you and enrich your life with divine hope in the midst of whatever challenge you face today.
Danny Yamashiro can also be heard on the Good Life Radio Show at 2 p.m. on the new KGU 99.5 FM and on AM 760 KGU. Visit thegoodlifehawaii.org. And remember to get Paradise Calls by Danny Yamashiro, available at bookstores throughout Hawaii. For more information, visit Danny online at thegoodlifehawaii.org.
Have you been blessed by the Good Life Hawaii Radio Show? Have the stories been an inspiration to you? What if you had the opportunity to improve the quality of another person's life, someone like your family member or friend? Danny Yamashiro is looking for friends of the Good Life to prayerfully consider a monthly financial gift. You will receive monthly letters from Danny that will equip and encourage you. I invite you to become a financial partner with Danny Yamashiro Ministries. With your gift, you will become part of Danny's ministry team and help reach more people with God's love and hope through Jesus Christ. Write your check to Danny Yamashiro Ministries and mail it to P.O. Box 700998 Kapolei, Hawaii 96709. That's Danny Yamashiro Ministries, P.O. Box 700998, Kapolei, Hawaii 96709. Or go to www.dannyyamashiro.org. To The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special guests.
Welcome back to our show. I'm here with my featured guest today, Pastor Terry Wong. You know, we're living in a time where calamities seem to be all around us, and they compound. Such times, you can look at it, and I think from a biblical standpoint, you know, the calamity can loom its ugly self, so to speak, in the form of what we could recall as a Goliath. I mean, just an overwhelming challenge that just could just take our breath away and steal our hearts. Pastor Terry, what did you experience in your life, or has there been experiences in your life, maybe even in your earlier years in Canada, that you would say helped God use that to help shape the person you have become, or I guess at that time it would be the person that you are going to become?
No, that's a good question, Danny. This may sound a little bit carnal, but I think about when I was young, and because it was during those days, because I'm 51 years old now, during those days when bigotry, racism was a big thing, and being Chinese, you know, I was called all sorts of derogatory terms and all that, and I got beaten up a lot in school. But it was such a shameful thing because I was my mom's favorite child, and I didn't want to come home looking like a loser. So I would wipe myself, try to cover all the bruises and all that, and come home. And I just got really sick and tired of that. And of course, when I was young, I didn't have any decision-making powers to do anything about it. But when I got into my teenage years, an opportunity came to learn martial arts from a grandmaster from China. And I took that opportunity because in my mind, I didn't want to ever get beaten up again. And associate with getting beaten up, I was a fearful person, shy, to such a degree that when my parents had friends come over, I would hide behind the door. Mm. I was just that type of a person. And I was tired of being that type of person because I wanted to talk to people. I wanted to get to know people. But that Goliath, if you will, was in my life, and I couldn't overcome that. And so when I had the opportunity to learn from a grandmaster, I took that opportunity. And he told me, he said, if you want to get good, you have to put a lot of time and effort into it. And I was willing to. And I remember my first lesson, he told me, you know, okay, I want you to practice these kicks and do maybe a dozen of them. For 1 week, in between lessons, I was practicing like 300 kicks a day. Hmm. Because I wanted to overcome this Goliath. And that memory, those memories of being beaten up, I didn't want that to ever happen for the rest of my life again. And I think that started forming me. That was a formation for me, not just physically and emotionally, but even spiritually, because that's the way I look at any kind of challenges today, because I don't want to get beaten up anymore. And that's why even when I got into martial arts, I put everything into it. You know, got my first black belt in Kung Fu, got another black belt in Taekwondo, had the opportunity to be trained by many very good instructors, friends of Bruce Lee and Chuck Norris, that type of world-class level, and got me to a point where I qualified for the 88 Summer Olympics in Seoul, Korea, in Taekwondo. But I think that the big thing that brought me to that point, again, those Goliath in my early years, and I did not want Goliath to hover over me for the rest of my life.
You know, you mentioned about how, you know, it may sound carnal, I mean, because you're talking about Kung Fu and, well, you know, fighting. But there's a spiritual application in it that we cannot overlook, because you it's like you tackled something or you took on a challenge early, and it's really, it's not external, it's internal. It's something that went on in your heart, in your spirit. It was a matter of faith. Mm-hmm. And you know, there are people today that have not faced or taken on the challenge of their own Goliath. Now, like, you know, Goliath can be different sizes for different people, but Goliath is Goliath nonetheless, figuratively speaking.
Yes.
And if they haven't addressed that or face that challenge, if I can use kind of a vernacular, Goliath will dog you all your life.
Mm-hmm.
And people are being chased after. They're living in fear. And then what happens when we're fearful, we become, we project various forms of images to kind of deflect what really is going on inside of us.
Mm-hmm.
So people don't really see how scared we are. But really, and then it becomes a matter of integrity. We just don't really trust ourselves, or we're afraid.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And you face that, and look at how God has taken you in your life. I guess, Pastor Terry, I'm thinking, you know, would you say that today, if somebody could be in their 20s, 30s, 40s, 50s, even up in years, if they haven't faced it, that it's not too late?
Oh, no, definitely not too late. I mean, I'm continuing being faced with different Goliaths in my life even today. I mean, Satan will make sure of that.
Yeah.
You know, and but because I defeated a Goliath in the past, or many Goliaths for that matter,
mm-hmm.
in my past, I know that if the Lord is for me, who can be against me? And I just want to encourage the listeners that even as you begin your journey of trying to defeat that Goliath in your life, the victory may not be immediate,
mm-hmm.
but we need to hang on. We need to keep on persisting, not to quit, to have the attitude that victory will come. And if I may share, again, going back to the martial arts beatings, after I got my first black belt, I actually won some major tournaments. I mm-hmm. won the BC Championships, British Columbia Championship. I won the Western States Championship. And I had my name in the paper. I was, you know, well-known in my late teens. And then I went to the University of Victoria to get my bachelor degree. And the university heard that hey, Terry Wong, the martial artist, the BC champion, is attending our school. So would you open up a kung fu club? We need that kind of activity, and with your name, you know, we could offer that.
Mm-hmm.
And so I agreed, and well, they really sweetened the pot by when they said that we will help. We can use this to reduce your tuition. So that was a financial draw, mm-hmm. being a person who didn't have a lot of money back in those days. And but I remember we did posters. We advertised the University of Victoria Kung Fu Club. And then on the opening day, I had some assistants helping me with registration and all that. And so I just walked over and I was greeting people as they were signing in to the first class. And I saw this one guy, he wrote down his name, and because this is, you know, I don't think he's here in Hawaii, so I'll just mention his name, you know, Robert Van Nuys. I thought, Robert Van Nuys, that name sounds so familiar. So I looked at him, I said, excuse me, do we know each other? He said, I don't think so, you know, I don't know you. And I says, Robert Van, well, okay, boy, you really you sound familiar, but I can't put my finger on it. Well, anyways, here's your uniform, and get changed and start stretching like everybody else is, and you know, classes start shortly. So as people continue to sign in, then it hit me. Robert Van Nuys was one of the bullies that beat me up when I was a little boy.
Hmm.
And I thought, he's in my class now. Now I'm the master. Now I'm the instructor.
Mm-hmm.
And I went over to him. I said, I remember who you are now. He said, oh, really? We met somewhere? Yes. Did you go to George J. Elementary School? And he said, yes. How did you know? Because I'm Terry Wong. I said, yeah, I don't know. No, you guys used to call me the brain because I spent all my time in the library and you guys like to beat up brains. And he looked at me with a horrifying look on his face because now it all came back to him. He remembered who I was. And he said, what are you going to do? I said, and I just laughed. I said, hey, that was so many years ago. But the fact is, hey, you're my student. It doesn't matter. We're all growing up. But I have to confess, Danny, during the first demonstration of kicking techniques, I used him as an example. And I kicked him around a little bit. But, you know, I didn't hurt him or whatever.
Uh-huh,
but,
uh-huh.
you know, but he knew who was in charge, who
uh-huh.
was the stronger uh-huh. now. But, you know, that one moment was a defining moment,
mm-hmm.
because it brought me back to the Goliath again.
Mm-hmm.
He was my Goliath.
Mm-hmm.
And now he's no longer my Goliath,
mm-hmm.
you know. And of course, by that time I was a Christian too. So of course I was not going to be revengeful. You
tell us, how did you become a Christian?
Well, this might sound kind of silly, but I actually was an atheist. I didn't, you know, I went to church like I said, but a church was very traditional. It turned me off, and I stopped going after a while. And then I started being a person who liked to study sciences and was a very logical person. I thought evolution seems to have a lot of merit, and I got into all that stuff, and I looked at evidences and all that. And then there was a psychic that I was following. The psychic was never wrong. Every prediction that she predicted came to pass. And then her latest was that on a given Sunday at 6 p.m. the world was going to come to an end. So then I thought, boy, you know, I mean, look at everything she said was right, so this has to happen. So I was talking to one of my close friends who was a Christian, and I said, what are we going to do when the world comes to an end on that Sunday at 6 p.m.? He said, nothing's going to happen, you know. Like, yeah, look, he's never been wrong and all that. Well, he took the opportunity to tell me about eternal life. He said, okay, let's say that it does, you know, the world is going to end. Then I can tell you what will happen to you afterwards. You can accept Jesus, and you can be assured of eternal life. Just come with me to church on Sunday morning, and we'll get you saved, so that when the world comes to end, because he knew, I was pretty convinced this is going to happen. So he took the opportunity, took advantage of that, and I went to church, and when the pastor made the altar call, I raised my hand, accept Jesus, and that was the same day that the world was supposed to come to an end. So 6 o'clock, or right before 6 o'clock, I was sitting in my mom's living room, and it was about 5:30, and I'm waiting for the clock to strike 6 o'clock, and I was telling my mom, Mom, why are you cooking? World's going to come to an end. She thought I was crazy, you know, and I was just waiting there. And when 6:01 came, I thought, oh, maybe the clock's wrong, 6:05 and all that. And then I called my friend. I says, hey, the world didn't come to an end. He said, I told you. And I said, you mean what I did this morning was a waste of time? And he said, no, you're a man of commitment. You're a person of commitment. And I know that once you make a commitment, you're not going to pull back. And he was right, you know. And I said, well, I have all these questions. He says, hey, I think the Lord will answer them. And, you know, slowly but surely, the questions I had, they weren't answered. So, yeah, that's how I got saved.
Well, that's definitely a distinct story.
Yeah.
But people can relate. People can relate. People can relate to your life because everybody faces Goliaths. Mm. And people can relate to your life because we are all on a journey of faith. And for you, you know, you came to Christ through your atheism. Mm. Through your process of doubt and then believing in a psychic, and how God brought somebody into your life at that strategic time, a moment of destiny, to remind you about eternal life in Jesus Christ.
Yes.
You know, Pastor Terry, today people are at the crossroads as well. They are trying to work through various forms of challenges that they have to face. Some are gigantic, like Goliaths. Somebody's going to take Goliath on really for the first time. Even as they're listening, they're thinking, you know what? I'm tired of being chased around with my tail between my legs. I'm going to finally face up to this challenge with the help of God. But also somebody today may be at a point where what's going on in their life has made them open to the gospel of Jesus Christ, that Christ died on the cross to cleanse them of their sins, that by faith in Christ and his finished work on the cross and his shed blood, the Christ who is alive, who rose again on the third day, can give them eternal life.
Amen.
So today, as you're listening, perhaps the Lord is speaking to you through the no-holds-barred story of Pastor Terry Wong. We're going to take a break now. When we come back, we've already heard how he became a Christian. What about being a businessman and what God did in his life as a businessman and how God was orchestrating and weaving a call to ministry through that process? When we come back, Pastor Terry will talk about the fingerprints of God in his life. Perhaps there are some fingers of God moving in your life right now. Stay with us. We'll be back with more from Pastor Terry Wong.
Wandering the road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath the barren sky, leave it to me, I'll lead you home.
Hi, this is Danny Yamashiro. The The fact that there are business owners who care enough about our community to bring God's hope to people is one of the greatest gifts to society. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show appreciates their generous financial support.
The Good Life Radio Show is a ministry that has a family of financial supporters. Grateful for their generosity, Danny Yamashiro and the Good Life Hawaii Radio Show would like to thank Wahiwa dentist Dr. Kerry Ishihara, orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi, A1A electrician Tony Lathrop Lee of State Farm Mililani, HMC Karaoke, Birch Union Service Station on School Street, Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa of Windward Family Dentistry, Michael Beasley of Kiani, Realtor Fran Villarmia Kahavai of Properties International Limited, and Chinnan and Arinaga Financial Group Incorporated. To learn more about our sponsors and further sponsorship opportunities, visit thegoodlifehawaii.org.
A healthy smile can make all the difference, but where do you go for healthy teeth? Dr. Kerry Ishihara is a specialist in general dentistry in Wahiawa. With more than 20 years of experience, Dr. Ishihara serves the people of Wahiawa, including a special focus on military families. As a lieutenant colonel in the U.S. Army Reserves, he understands the needs of soldiers and families in our military community. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is proud to have Dr. Kerry Ishihara as an anchor sponsor. Call him at 621-8281. That's 621-8281.
Do you need a specialist in cosmetic dentistry? Someone who can bring the best in you from the inside out. Let Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa help you. His warmth, compassion, and expertise provides all the assurance needed for your dental needs. Visit Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa of Windward Family Dentistry in Kaneohe. Call him at 235-4525 to make an appointment today. That's 235-4525. Or visit jeffmiyazawa.com. Windward Family Dentistry, where a lifetime of smiles is created.
Listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special guests.
Welcome back to our show. I'm here with my featured guest today, Pastor Terry Wong. Pastor Terry is the senior pastor of Calvary Assembly of God. He is a worldwide speaker and author of a new book that's coming out called Mission Power. Transform your life and your church dynamically in missions. Pastor, before our break, we were talking about experiences that shape us the way we are today. And you talked to us also about how you became a follower of Christ. As a Christian, how did you get into business?
Well, when I finished my bachelor degree, it was in math and computer science.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, in math, you're not going to make that much. Who's going to hire somebody to prove some theorems? But in computer science, it was during the time when it was really growing, and they were looking for programmers and that type of a thing. So I started out programming, became a database administrator, and got into software engineering, and mm-hmm. And then this one software vendor made me an offer to join them to travel around first Canada, then the United States, and eventually the world, helping them sell software as a software engineer first. A few years of that. And then I got into sales itself because the vice president noticed that probably I was the reason why a lot of the sales were being made, not because of the sales rep, but because of me.
Mm-hmm.
So he had me try it out for a year, and I made the elite club and was one of the top salespeople already in that first year, and then it just grew from there.
Mm-hmm. And along the way, you were following the Lord?
Oh, yes. I was a Christian. But even then, I felt like there was a calling on my life.
Okay.
To be...
Tell us about that.
Yeah. I still remember I attended this healing service. And I was, you know, again, my perspective on ministry and Christianity and the church was very limited because of my upbringing, which eventually caused me to leave the church. I was not impressed with ministry and the preacher and the pastor. But I saw this guy, he was enjoying himself. He had various spiritual gifts in operation, word of knowledge. He knew that somebody had a bad leg, somebody had a blind eye, that type of thing, without foreknowledge. And only that, he called people up, he was laying hands on them, they were sick, they got healed. Now, had I not known anybody, I might have thought that whole thing was manufactured and fake, but I knew at least one of the people, and I thought, if this is true ministry, then I don't mind this. And I thought I heard God say, that's where I'm taking you one day. And that was the beginning of that. And I just kept ever since then, I always kept my antennas up, just listening to God, when's the time when you would want me to be in ministry? And I started developing my secular career, but then there were opportunities to take Bible college courses, and again, I thought, you know, well, the day God calls me, does that mean that then I go to Bible college, because then I'll be that farther behind? Mm-hmm. I need to take these courses and get myself ready in case the calling does come, and then I'm ready to go. So that's why, even as I was going on my business trips and all that, I would take my course material and study in the evenings, and that was good, because, you know, a lot of these business trips, there's parties and drinking and that type of a thing, and I'd rather not do that kind of stuff and do something more productive, and I study my classes. Mm-hmm. And just to get myself ready for ministry as I was developing my career.
Excuse me. And you did that.
Yeah.
See, the thing you said was so dynamic, it got me to choke up. But using your time, and I'm, you know, the way that you have stewarded your walk with God, the responsibility in which you've handled the gifts that God has given you is something to make note of. And from that, I'm thinking, you know, everybody is, like I said earlier, on a journey of faith. And I'm wondering today if someone is, I want to ask, as you're listening, wherever you might be driving, you might be at home, you might be at work, you might have a hard time resting, so you're restless and you're listening to the show. Maybe you're listening and you have a sense of eagerness. Does God have something to say to me? Well, let me and... with Pastor Terry, let's just pose a question. Where are you in your journey of faith right now? What is God doing in your life? Is God saying something to you at this particular time? In the middle of a trial, in the middle of a challenge, is God working out something in your life? Does He want you to come to a point where you take responsibility for either some actions or make a decision as to what your life will be like? Now, Pastor Terry was sensing a calling from God, but he didn't wait for the call. He was already preparing for that because he had this sense of what God was doing in his life. I think today, one of the important factors of our show is to help you process where you are in this particular time, and to be aware that even though it seems a little difficult, or you might be faced with a challenge, and maybe somebody right now might be just, you know, this is a good time. Well, thank God you're at a good time in your life. But we're all at a crossroads at times, and what are you going to do with it in your life? Pastor Terry, you were preparing for ministry. God eventually did call you.
Mm-hmm.
How did you end up in Hawaii?
Well, I was working in San Francisco, and at this point, again, God had already called me into ministry, but on a bivocational level.
Okay.
So in other words, I was doing my computer software business. At the same time, I first was a youth pastor in San Francisco, then my wife and I, we felt called to plant our own church in the peninsula, and we did that. So, honestly, I thought I had it. I thought that I was doing what God wanted me to do, and I had income from my career. Everything was comfortable, and then God started stirring up the nest. That same pastor that picked me up for Sunday school in Victoria.
When you were 6 years old?
When I was 6 years old,
okay.
He had already retired from ministry in Hawaii, and he was living in the Bay Area.
Mm-hmm.
He received a call from one of the deacons of Calvary Assembly of God. They said that they had been looking for a pastor for 2 years and were unsuccessful. So they asked him if he knew of anybody, and he said, well, there's one guy I used to pick up in Sunday school, and he's a minister now. I don't know if he'd be interested because he planted his own church, but I can certainly ask him. So when my wife and I came home on a Saturday night, he had left a message on my answering machine. And I called him back, and he said, would you be interested in pastoring my old church in Hawaii? And I said, no, I'm not interested. And he said, well...
Just like that.
Just like that. And he said, why such a hasty decision? I said, because I'm happy where I am. I mean, I feel that I'm exactly where God wants me to be. I have my own church. It's not like I have to give up my career to pastor a church. I'm already pastoring church. And I've got, you know, and he said, well, why don't you just pray about it? And I said, all right. I just agreed because, you know, in respect to him being my first mm-hmm. pastor. Hung up, and I told my wife, and she said, well, who is that? And you know, I told her, and she says, so what's he asking? And I said, well, he asked if I would like to pastor his church in Hawaii. And he said, well, what'd you say? I says, well, I'm not interested. She said, why'd you say that? I said, because I'm not interested, because part of my career, I had Hawaii as a sales territory. Mm-hmm. I mean, I had the West Coast and that type of thing, and I went to Hawaii every month for a week at a time anyways. Mm-hmm. So I felt like I got enough of Hawaii, you know, and she said, you go to Hawaii for business. You're not going to Hawaii for ministry. And I said, yeah, that's true. Well, anyways, the pastor called me back a week later and said, so did you pray about it? And I said, no. And he said, what kind of Christian are you? You don't even pray about things? I said, because I don't think I'm supposed to go. He says, well, tell you what. On your next business trip to Hawaii, which is going to be in a few weeks' time anyways, mm-hmm. do me a favor. Why don't you just go by the church? Okay, and I said, all right. And I was really reluctant. I said, oh no, not another kind of Goliath which has been thrown at me by my former pastor. You know, mm-hmm. I mean, it was another kind of challenge here. But I agreed, and I remember on the Saturday, my wife and I, we drove up to the church just to make sure that we knew where the church was, because the church by this time had already, you know, of course they knew I was coming. They asked that I would preach on Sunday morning, so I didn't want to get lost on Sunday morning, so we came on Saturday afternoon just to check it out. I remember seeing the appearance of a church, and I thought, this is pretty pitiful. This is not a church for me. And so we had to go to Long's Drugs on Vineyard, and so my wife went in, and I called the pastor up, and I said, you know, my first pastor, and he was in California, and I said, we're here at the church. And he said, oh, did you meet anybody? I said, no, but we checked it out, and it's not the church for me. He says, you didn't meet anybody, and you already concluded that this is not your church? I said, yeah, I mean, I just looked on the outside. That's good enough. He says, no, wait a minute. Man looks on the outward appearance. God looks on the heart. How dare you look in a way that is not the way that the Lord will look on something. Mm. Why don't you wait until tomorrow? He challenged me. He said, why don't you wait until tomorrow? When you step into the church, then you will feel the heart of the church. Because looking at the church on the outside is not the heart. And so I agreed, and reluctantly again, and went. And of course, we were not late because we knew how to get there. Mm-hmm. And when I walked in, the greeting that we received and the Holy Spirit, I could hear the Holy Spirit say, this is where you're supposed to be. And that troubled me because I had already concluded I was not supposed to pastor here. Hmm. And then God challenged me with this. I don't want you to just take on this church. I want you to give up your career for me. If you will give up your career for me, I will make this a world-changing church. And the theology part in me just push back, because see, I had already got my master's degree from Fuller Theological mm-hmm. Seminary. Peter Wagner was one of my main professors, mm-hmm. and he taught that old churches don't change very easily. And this was a 45-year-old church. And I thought, no way, how can it be a world-changing church when it's 45 years old? It's been such a good family church, great potlucks, into themselves, and that type of a thing. And I can't do that. And God was just telling me, and he's in my book, by the way, that I had to learn how to sacrifice before the church can learn how to sacrifice. Mm-hmm. I had to not think of myself first, go beyond myself and think of others, and then they will too. Mm-hmm. And I really believe that's the key to successful living.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the good life is when it's not all about you, when it's about others.
It's not all about you, It's about others.
Yes.
The keys to the good life.
Mm-hmm.
Pastor Terry is sharing with us gut level, straight from the heart, right where you are, right where I am. I'm hearing him, and this stuff is really, really moving. The challenge. You were challenged. God spoke to you in a very distinct way. Of course, we know you listen because you're here. But things began to just take off. I'm interested to hear how it all happened when we come back from our break. You know, when you make a decision for God, when you make a decision to respond to a challenge, and you obey God, in essence, you are part, well, God kind of lets you help open a door. It's really Him opening it, but it's a door to a world that you are completely surprised of what God can do. You might not have even thought you could have been a part of it, but you're in it. You're going to hear more from Pastor Terry Wong. What he has to say has to do with you too. So stay with us. We'll be right back.
Wandering the road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath the barren sky. Leave it to me, I'll lead you home.
On a dark winter night at Hawaii's Pali Ridge, Danny Yamashiro's life was forever changed as he fell 300 feet off a cliff, attempting to rescue his girlfriend. With a fractured skull, torn scalp, a shattered ankle, and smashed body, he fell again, another 100 feet. No one thought he would live. Danny's book, Paradise Calls, is a spellbinding story of survival and hope. A first-hand account of crushed dreams, recovery, and renewed faith to bring Christ's message of hope to people everywhere. Here's Danny.
As you read Paradise Calls, may God bless you and enrich your life with divine hope in the midst of whatever challenge you face today.
Danny Yamashiro can also be heard on the Good Life Radio Show at 2 p.m. on the new KGU 99.5 FM and on AM 760 KGU. Visit thegoodlifehawaii.org and remember to get Paradise Calls by Danny Yamashiro, available at bookstores throughout Hawaii. For more information, visit Danny online at thegoodlifehawaii.org.
Have you been blessed by the Good Life Hawaii Radio Show? Have the stories been an inspiration to you? What if you had the opportunity to improve the quality of another person's life, someone like your family member or friend? Danny Yamashiro is looking for friends of the Good Life to prayerfully consider a monthly financial gift. You will receive monthly letters from Danny that will equip and encourage you. I invite you to become a financial partner with Danny Yamashiro Ministries. With your gift, you will become part of Danny's ministry team and help reach more people with God's love and hope through Jesus Christ. Write your check to Danny Yamashiro Ministries and mail it to P.O. Box 700998 Kapolei, Hawaii 96709. That's Danny Yamashiro Ministries, P.O. Box 700998, Kapolei, Hawaii 96709. Or go to www.dannyyamashiro.org. To The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special guests.
Welcome back to our show. I'm here with my featured guest today, Pastor Terry Wong. Pastor Terry is the senior pastor of Calvary Assembly of God. You know, we certainly do need your prayerful and financial partnership with our radio show. There are some exciting things that we are preparing for and preparing to launch so that more people can experience the love of Jesus Christ. We're also very grateful for our corporate sponsors, our partners, like Dr. Kerry Ishihara, our dear dentist in Wahiawa, and orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi, A1A electrician, Tony Lathrop Lee of State Farm Mililani, Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa of Windward Family Dentistry, Bert's Unical right here on School Street, Michael Beasley of Kaiani, Fran Villarmia Kahavai of Properties International Limited, Chinen and Arinaga Financial Group, and Armor of Truth. To find out more about our sponsorship opportunities, go to thegoodlifehawaii.org. Pastor Terry, before our break, we're talking about how God brought you to Calvary and how you and Vicky responded. But it came with challenges, too. You were challenged in terms of your conviction. You were challenged in the way that you were perceiving things. Man looks at the outward appearance, but God looks at the heart. In the years that you've been at Calvary Assembly of God, what have you seen God do?
Seen God transform a church that was somewhat content with some areas of Christian living and church life, but also a church that was not so content. I mean, they were, quite frankly, tired of being inwardly. Different leaders are saying that you can only take so much of yourself. Hmm. And, you know, we've read books about all these leading churches, the Hillsong churches, Willow Creek and Saddlebacks. And how do we become like that? We want to get beyond that. And so when I came with a vision, you know, and you have to understand, what I gave up was no small potatoes. Mm-hmm. I gave up a thriving career. I was traveling internationally. I was consistently in the top five in sales worldwide. And God told me to give that up, believing that this is going to be a world-changing church. So, of course, I need a church to be able to respond to that. And God, again, God's timing. Because this church was ready to make changes. And I can't say the same with a lot of churches. Mm-hmm. You know, sometimes the new pastor wants to make changes. The church is not ready to. It's like moving an elephant. And so the two don't get married together. In God's timing, he and in his providence, he provided the two to come together. And they were ready to make a move. I wanted to move because I gave up so much for mm-hmm. this, and I was not content to be a maintenance pastor, and they were tired of being maintenance people. And so it first came with you know, here it is, we're the closest Chinese Assemblies of God church to China, and yet we're not doing anything in China. Mm-hmm. And I threw out the vision that we need to plant churches in China. I don't think we're too small. In fact, no church is too small because we have a big God. And the first few years, we started planting churches, and to date, we planted over 200 churches in China. Mm. A couple of years ago, we did 20 churches in India. I sent a team to East Timor, and we planted a church there. We have,
and these are not, we got to keep in mind, these aren't short-term missions. These, the people that went to East Timor, how long did they stay? What did they do to get there and to plant the church?
Well, they had to. Well. These individuals had to quit their job. One of them worked at HMSA. Another one had a jewelry business. They had to really change their own life around. Again, because, again, to focus on others, not on yourself. And the blessings are associated when you have that kind of attitude, which Jesus himself had when he came to earth. It was all about others.
You know, this is such a far cry from candy-coated Christianity. Mm. Sometimes there's such we're packaging things, so to speak, again, you know, like making it so palatable. It's so easy to be a Christian, and yet there's what happens is we got spaghetti-spined Christianity. There's no backbone. There's no courage. There's no faith. There's no guts. You know, and no sacrifice.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And I think that's an important component because Jesus himself, being the model, he had to sacrifice. He had to sacrifice himself so that others can learn how to sacrifice. The disciples learn how to sacrifice. Even in their last days, they themselves were martyred because they saw their Lord and Savior do that too. And I really believe, and again, going back to my book, it's in there, the pastor and the leader is such an important component of the congregation, the church following suit. They have to model it. They can't just speak eloquently and motivationally. That's not good enough. They have to model it. Mm. And I just feel that when they saw my sacrifice, what I gave up to come here, for some of these people to go to East Timor or even the Brazil trip that we're planning for. I mean, we're planning to send a team, six people team to Brazil in September of this year. All six had to give up something, had to sacrifice their own vocation and family one individual that went to East Timor had to be without his family for 6 months, not see his wife, three young kids. But again, it was because of others, and the family supported that, you know. So we're calling for sacrifice. That's what we're looking at. If we're going to make a difference in this world, there has to be that sacrifice component. But when God sees that kind of sacrifice, the blessings are there too.
You know, we talk about family, how God is using you. Tell us about Vicky and your children. Tell us about your family.
Well, you know, when God started doing all this calling, calling us into the ministry and all that, one thing that we had asked God not to do was to detach ministry from family. We've seen too many dysfunctional ministerial families, which is the case. You know, you got these men of God that are trying to save the world, yet they're losing their own families. Mm-hmm. You know, and we did not want that to happen. We wanted to integrate it. We wanted our kids to see ministry as something that is fun and that they can be a part of, as opposed to something that, oh, daddy's at church again. Daddy doesn't have time for this and that and all that. We made an early decision that when we're going to do this kind of ministry, that we're going to have regular family time, that my wife and I are going to date regularly, that type of thing, to keep that family strong. And that's been the case. In fact, now my two oldest kids, 13 and 11 respectively, we can't stop them from going to youth meetings. You know, sometimes we want to do a family outing of some kind, and it happens to fall on a Friday night, and they're going, why are you planning that? We got to go to youth meeting. So now they're the ones who are passionate about ministry and being part of the church and that type of a thing. Just last Sunday, my son made his debut. He played the French horn, which is one of the most difficult instruments, but that fit within my sermon that I was preaching about being an instrument for God.
Well, and you included him.
I included him in that. You know, and my other kids are now, you know, can we be part of worship team one day? Can we do this and that and all that? You want to integrate the two. You know, this whole thing about, hey, go gangbusters in a ministry and God will take care of the family. I think some ministers have taken it to extremes, and they've separated their family from ministry. And that's why you have so many PKs, preachers' kids, that not only are not in ministry, they're not even in the Lord anymore. They're not even in church life and Christianity, because I really believe that a lot of ministers, they have not thought about the next generation, not only in their own church, but in their own family. And that's so important to bring the two together. And both my wife and I, Vicky and I, we made that conscious decision that we're going to include them. And so as we grow in the ministry, even some of the trips that we go on, they're going to come along too.
Mm-hmm. You know, you're cultivating, actually, you're preparing for the next generation, a legacy, actually, for God's purposes. Whatever God calls them to do in terms of vocation or career, their heart is prepared for what God is wanting to do in and through them, whether it be in full-time ministry or, well, ministry in whatever capacity, they'll be prepared and ready. Pastor, let's go back. You know, we talked earlier about the challenges of life that people face. What would you say today to someone who's facing adversity?
Don't give up. Don't give up. Again, if we're going to look at that whole Goliath metaphor, everybody else, all the Israelites were giving up. They thought, there's no way we can fight Goliath. David came and, hey, Lord's on my side. There's no Goliath there. And he defeated him.
That's a word from Pastor Terry Wong. Don't give up. The next few days, you're going to hear more stories like this. I want you to invite someone to visit thegoodlifehawaii.org. Here's a scripture for today. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. It's a blessing to be with you, along with Pastor Terry Wong. I'm Danny Yamashiro with my producer, Leo Rodriguez. Remember, the Lord is with you. Let him unleash your God-given purpose today.
Thank you for listening in on today's broadcast of The Good Life with host Danny Yamashiro. We hope that today's program has been a blessing for you. The Good Life radio program is listener-supported, and we'd like to encourage you to pray about becoming a sponsor or donor.
Your support makes it possible for us to continue to minister to God's people through The Good Life. To become a sponsor or to make a donation, please visit thegoodlifehawaii.org. That's thegoodlifehawaii.org. And may God richly bless you with The Good Life.